Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 142.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Yotpo SMS Bump, the leading SMS marketing solution for Shopify brands that are looking to build a top revenue channel. Delivering unbeatable conversions and click-through rates, SMS Bump will help your brand cut through the noise and boost sales. With SMS Bump, you can build powerful remarketing automations to recover abandoned carts or even reactivate customers who haven't shopped in a while. Special thanks to advanced segmentation filters, you can create truly personalized campaigns that will speak to each and every one of your customers, bringing in over 25x ROI. You can engage in one-on-one conversations with customers and give them the personalized experiences and tailored support they crave. What's also great about SMS Bump is their integration with key partners such as Zendesk, Klaviyo, Just Uno, and many more, including Yotpo's other solutions. Your audience can enjoy an always-on, omni-channel experience on the channel they prefer. It's incredibly easy to download SMS Bump for free and set it up in less than 5 minutes. This is the only text marketing app you will ever need for your Shopify brand. And now, as an e-commerce Fastlane listener, you get a one-month free trial on their paid plan. So check them out today. Click the link in the show notes, visit the Shopify App Store or ecommercefastlane.com/SMS bump and see why over 90,000 other brands choose SMS Bump. Well, hey there, it's Steve and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream a very relevant back catalog directly from ecommercefastlane.com. Now, in today's episode, my guest is Greg Alvo, who is the CEO and founder of a company called Order Groove. And they're a subscription platform that is helping emerging and established brands to scale recurring revenue. This is a subscription offering. It's a really exciting topic. Now, Greg founded Order Groove, I believe, around 2010. I'm sure we'll learn more when I ask some questions moving on. But really, I think the goal was to help make consumers' lives easier, obviously with a subscription offering, while also empowering brands to extend the lifetime value of their most loyal customers. And so today, Order Groove has literally partnered with hundreds of Shopify merchants. They even have a lot of notable brands in commerce today. I'm sure I'll learn more as we record today, but brands like The Honest Company, that I'm sure you've heard of, Kind Snacks, which I love. My kids love them too. PetSmart, other brands. It's amazing who they've aligned themselves with and how they're helping with subscription processing and the portal that goes along with that. So hi, Greg. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be here with you, and thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. So you just heard my intro. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just would love to understand on a high level first about what Order Groove does and the problems that you're currently solving for Shopify brands.
Yeah, you said it great. Order Groove is a subscription platform for emerging and larger brands to scale their subscription businesses. We work with hundreds of brands ranging from, you named it, Il Makiage to The Honest Company to Peet's Coffee with Shopify, Verse Skincare, PetSmart, many others. And really what we focus on is how do we deliver the best in class subscriber experience for these brands and retailers, centering around the convenience for the consumer, removing friction from the path to purchase, making it all about the relationship. The broader category of the subscription experience falls into what we call relationship commerce, which is really about how do you establish a true frictionless relationship between that brand and the consumer, juxtaposed against transactional commerce. So we're seeing, you know, the proliferation of more and more models that leverage this, removing the friction from the path to purchase, whether it's subscription or membership or other credit card not present transactions that make it very easy for a consumer to do business with their favorite brands.
So let's talk about the journey. I'm always fascinated why people build what they build. And it's just not, hey, I want to own a SaaS company. I want recurring revenue. I think there's a lot more than I just want to make money. There's usually like a whole story leading up to sometimes some failures and some wins. And then all of a sudden there's product market fit. So I just would love to understand, you know, from your perspective, what I guess uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, to have the desire and to have the expertise to want to create Order Groove.
I started Order Groove and we launched it in September of 2010. And really the premise was SaaS has transformed the software industry 20 years ago with SaaS, or back then it was 10 years ago. We thought that there was a similar revolution that was about to take place in transformation within the D2C and retail and consumer goods. If you look at the fastest growing businesses now, they're all in the backs of the subscription model. But the story, the origination story is really a combination of a personal need coupled with a business need in the market where on the personal side, I grew up a competitive athlete. Tennis was my go-to sport. I played a number of others as well. And I would routinely run out of supplies, you know, whether it was strings, tennis strings or sneakers every 6 weeks or, you know, balls, whatever it might be. And I would either go to, back then it was a catalog called Tennis Warehouse, which is now, of course, an e-commerce site. And I could buy the strings and I would string it myself with my money on my Ectalon stringing machine in my family room in Miami. Or I could pay three times the price and go to the local pro shop, which was called GT Sports. And while I prefer the former, I typically land on the latter, primarily centered around convenience. You know, they had a subscription offer and it would have been more convenient for the catalog, but they didn't. And it was just the last minute purchase that I ended up making at GT Sports. And they were really nice people there. And I had a relationship with them and such. From that, like if they made it easier, the catalog, they would have certainly gained my share of wallet and a greater lifetime value. So there was just a personal need from a number of different angles. I think that continued. One of my good friends was a marathon runner. We talked about similar use cases when I started the business. I remember going to conferences. Actually, Order Groove started off as a marketplace for a number of months where we would aggregate merchants and you can manage all of your subscription plans from a centralized location, making it all about, you know, very easy and such. And I quickly realized that I couldn't, you know, that as I talked to merchants about signing them up for the marketplace, it was obvious that they wanted this on their website and in their e-commerce store. So we pivoted. We did the proverbial startup pivot. We went towards a SaaS offering. It really hasn't changed much since then. What's changed is the market's exploded. I mean, everybody is seeing the growth in the recurring revenue market. Primarily, you know, in our opinion, is driven just by the consumer's expectation, as I mentioned earlier, for that frictionless experience.
No, I was just thinking too, you know what, it's you're right. I even manage a bunch of brands that are in like the sports nutrition, the supplement market. I have a kitty litter company, alcohol brands. Like, it's so interesting that people really love the convenience factor that goes along with and knowing that consistently, even I have a sock company where you're getting like some socks, you know, every 6 weeks or every 8 weeks. It's so interesting that it just, if you love a brand and you just don't want to have to worry anymore, that you know it's coming, because you know how challenging it was in the middle of COVID trying to find things with traditional retail clothes. You know how crazy it was. I think people are just, their minds are open that let's discover great brands. But number two, when I love the brand, can I get a small discount, 10% off, 15% off? And then can I get onto a recurring option? I think that's where Order Groove fits in quite nicely.
Yeah, no, that's spot on. I think just going to COVID, my wife, Carolyn, and my two girls, we were having this brand called Birch Benders, which is a paleo pancake, pretty much daily as our breakfast. Delicious pancake that I highly recommend. Well, guess what? During COVID, you couldn't find them on Amazon. You couldn't find them anywhere. The only place I can find them was a direct-to-consumer Shopify store. You know, of course, I knew it was a Shopify store because I looked it up. But having, you know, having that direct-to-consumer relationship, which we turned into a subscription, not only did it allow us to have a relationship with our brand, in COVID, it gave us peace of mind that we were going to get, you know, the kids' choice of breakfast. And that was really important. Like, that normalcy was really important. We still get it. We still have it on subscription. There's a number of plays in the subscription space. There's, you know, the same products, which is the subscribe and save type model, replenishment type model. There's really new types of products, which is a bit more of a curation experience. Then there's access, which is more about a membership. You know, think about the Amazon Prime model. We power all of those. I think taking it one step up, Steve, I don't think it's just about subscription, though. I think the why behind it's more important around the consumers craving convenience. And, you know, I've told the following story to our team, which is where I think the market's ultimately headed is it's anticipatory shopping, knowing what you need before you actually know, you know, what you need or what you might want, and then making it really frictionless to do that, whether that's subscription or SMS or IoT in the future. You know, I think these credit card not present transactions that do not follow the traditional path to purchase and just make consumers' lives easier is the future of commerce. And that's what we call relationship commerce.
There is a lot of convenience factors that as a consumer, I mean, I have a few subscription offerings that I subscribe to now currently. And so why do you believe that convenience is important to Order Groove?
Because one, it's central to our vision. Our vision is transforming commerce one relationship at a time to free up time for the moments that matter most in our lives. And I think there's really two types of friction in our lives. There's mental friction and then there's physical friction. The mental friction is, hey, I actually have to remember to do something. The physical friction is I have to actually go to the store to get those diapers. Another non-commerce related mental friction is, you know, when we used to go into the office, that split second where you have to decide what to wear that day, it's just unnecessary angst. It's why you see Mark Zuckerberg wear the same shirt 30 days out of 30 days. Yeah. And I think ultimately it's because it's critical for the consumer, right? So the consumer has so many choices these days. And they associate themselves with brands that make their lives easier. And those brands that have friction, they're not going to give their share of wallet to. Those brands that remove it, the friction, are going to earn their business and the lifetime value associated with that. So I think, you know, competing on price and other perks are only so differentiated and oftentimes a race to the bottom. If you truly compete on convenience, and it's easy to say it, it's hard to execute. If you truly deliver that, what, you know, with a subscription offering or whatever that mean that may be, you're going to win. I mean, that is convenience and relationships with consumers and brands are winning propositions for a business. And I think that today's consumer, especially the millennials that are obviously growing in population, that's what their expectations are. And you have to be there to meet those expectations.
So you mentioned a little bit about COVID and just difficult to find products, and I totally get it. And so it's opened people's minds that the opportunity is there. And I like how you framed it a bit too, which I never really thought about. The whole subscribe and save is one option for more of a commodity product. But I also think it's interesting about access to a curated selection. Like I have one brand that I manage that is a Japanese snack box company that every month there's a curated selection box that arrives, but you just don't never know what you're going to get, but it's curated for that month. But people want to subscribe to that because they don't want to do the one-off and forget to not get it. The question I'm trying to frame here is that from your vantage point, like what do you believe subscriptions are looking like in 21 right now? And where do you think it's kind of headed?
I think subscriptions are moving more and more towards consumer centricity, subscriber centricity, where they put themselves more and more in control. You know, whether that's with the subscription management interface that consumers are used to in the My Account section of an e-commerce site, whether that's through SMS management. These are all mechanisms that are becoming table stakes for the consumer. I think ultimately where this category is headed, though, is it's not one size fits all. I think it's going to be personalized no differently than e-commerce is personalized. In fact, one can argue it should be even more personalized because at the heart of this is that relationship and that trust. You know, consumer, when they commit to you saying, hey, I trust you to bill my credit card every 30 days and ship me, you know, the product of my choice or the service of my choice. That's a very strong bond that's obviously equates to greater lifetime value and gross profits. And I think that personalizing that experience so that it's not the same experience for Steve and for Greg is critical. And I think there's more and more opportunity there than in many other areas.
I'm going to dig into the question a little later. I just wrote a note here about SMS and then portal management about how people can pause, change credit cards. And just because I think that's another whole interesting topic that, you know, as an operator, people are wondering, how do I make a great customer experience as it relates to subscription offerings? So I'm going to note that. I'm going to chat about that in a few minutes. But let's talk about some of examples, how you believe, you know, you have quite a few brands that are using Order Groove right now. How are they, and I'm sure you've seen other competitors and other brands, and you know, that are maybe your prospects, how are they differentiating themselves with their subscription offerings?
I think the ones that are differentiated the most are folks like, if you look at like a Kind Snacks, they're doing a very creative custom front end flow experience where they're build your own box. They know that folks have, that subscribers will have what we call flavor fatigue. And they don't necessarily want the same product, but they're loyal to the brand. They're less loyal to, in that specific case, because we all have palates that get tired over time, to the same SKU. So how do you help, you know, make that very easy to build a box that's personalized for Steve? How do you make it very easy to manage that? How do you then make sure that they have perks and that consumer continues to feel special? That's one example. You know, we also have one of the most unique offerings. It's not for every brand, of course, not every brand has retail stores. There's omni-channel customers, though, that we work with are offering subscription experiences at the point of sale when you're checking out. We're in almost about 10,000 stores. And I think for any omni-channel brand, that's something that should be considered. It's a true omni-channel experience. It's highly differentiated. I think that the other bucket I would argue is that personalization, back to what I mentioned earlier, machine learning driven experiences that predict the right cadence for Steve is absolutely a way that we're seeing our brands. It's very unique to Order Groove. We've invested heavily over several years in machine learning, our data science team. And we really truly believe that personalization is going to be critical for a differentiated experience for the consumer, because it should not be, as I mentioned earlier, one size fits all. And being able to anticipate whether it's churn or what's the right plan for Greg versus Steve is very, very important to make that consumers feel special and help them retain themselves.
What about the curation part of it? Because I think that's the other thing that I think is interesting.
Yeah, I think curation is all about the surprise and delight element. Like one of my favorite curation experiences for my dog Bleaker is by BarkBox. BarkBox does a phenomenal job of, they ask you a series of questions via guided selling up front. You land on the plan that's most appropriate for you, not for me, but for Bleaker. And they really try to mix it up. They also are very smart, right? They know when a subscriber is most likely to churn. And you'll see maybe the first box is fantastic, probably a lower gross margin for them. Second box, same. You know, the third box, it gets a little weaker potentially. Right before you might have a likelihood to churn, a propensity to churn based on their data, that, you know, fourth or fifth box is merchandised strongly as, you know, better than the third box per se. So curation is all about the surprise and delight element. Personalization is key there as well. I mean, some of my favorite experiences are ones that we power for our customers. So some of our favorite customer experiences are Yankee Candle does a fantastic, what they call fragrance flight. You know, there's a host of other ones. I know Darwin's Natural Pet Products does a host of customized experiences as well that fall into the curation bucket. We also work with, you know, the traditional wine brands as well, that this is obviously very inherent to their brand. And we've all experienced the great experience when you have a new bottle of wine that you didn't necessarily know was coming, and it ends up becoming one of your favorites.
So what's interesting too, and I want to go back to the question about subscription portals now, because I think this is probably a good pivot, because I think the convenience factor of a self-serve model, when you get somebody into a subscription offering, if it's a subscribe and save, it's a curated box, access, whatever it is, but you want them to be able to update and manage, and like you said, like flavor fatigue, how do you position Order Groove to make it kind of a seamless kind of self-serve experience?
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, you're hitting on one of the most critical elements of a great subscriber experience. What you're referencing as customer portal has been one of the largest investments from a product and engineering standpoint in Order Groove's history. We find oftentimes that brands just getting started in a subscription want something templatized out of the box. And then we find, you know, brands that are doing tens of millions in GMV, subscription GMV that is, want something more customized. And giving them the flexibility and ability to customize it to their brand, they see as a key differentiator to the previous question that sets them apart from the competition. Because ultimately, why that matters from a metric standpoint is that drives retention. And retention drives lifetime value, which drives profits, obviously. And if you can really help them customize that for, or give them the tools to customize that to what's right for their consumer experience, that's a very powerful part of our platform. And, you know, whether it's the flavor fatigue or even for diaper scenarios, you can imagine, you know, I still have kids in diapers, you know, changing diaper sizes, that's a key chief reason for why a subscriber churn might set in. But having the ability to, you know, upgrade easily or automatically upgrade or single click upgrade, those are really points of friction in the subscriber life cycle that if you get right and you give the consumer the tools to do it themselves and frictionlessly, then you're going to retain, most likely retain that subscriber and end up having a greater experience overall. So that's a very critical piece. I think there's many different capabilities within there. There's, you know, we also, another example, just to go a little level deeper, is for pets, right? You know, for example, back to my dog, who I have no shyness in talking about, Bleaker. When we go on vacation and we were subscribing to our pet food, we went on vacation to Maine. You know, it was very easy to change the address for where our food was going to be shipped to. You know, we do this food that comes frozen on dry ice. And of course, we don't want to change it because it's disruptive for a pet. So it made it very easy via the customer portal to change the address. They knew that we were on vacation. The same is true when, you know, you're on vacation, but you don't necessarily want to receive a product. The pet category is not that example, but, you know, I might not want to receive whatever the product might be. You know, pausing, right, a subscription, but asking for a reinstatement date, that can drive up retention by 40 basis points. So these types of experiences that really, you need to refine them, and the devil's in the detail to make sure that the merchant is able to create the right experience that's best for their brand, their category, and their customer.
What about expired cards? Because I feel that there's got to be a big challenge right now of, through an automated process, to say, hey, you know, your card is about to expire and we know that there is a subscription transaction coming soon and your card's going to be declined. And then how about these soft declines? Can you talk about that a bit?
Oh, yeah. We call it payment management and credit card optimization, a critical part of any subscription lifecycle. And every brand that has a subscription program, whether it's physical goods, digital goods, Netflix, Spotify, BarkBox, Honest Company, et cetera, they all face the same challenge, which is credit cards get declined. They get declined because of whether it's the card was stolen, or, you know, there is expired cards, or just for whatever reason, that time of day, it didn't go through. Order Groove's invested heavily in payment management over the years. We do, you know, everything from dunning to knowing that, you know, the best day to recharge a credit card might be if the error code comes back that it's insufficient funds. The best day to recharge Greg's credit card would, in that case, be the 16th of the month, because Greg gets paid on the 15th of the month. So It's these types of nuances that really matter and drive up what we, you know, what's called involuntary retention rates. So involuntary, you have voluntary attrition, you have involuntary attrition. Voluntary attrition is behavioral. So it's, you know, the consumer might be overstocked, or they no longer want a product or a service. How do you make sure that you're focused on driving a better experience, whether it's through promotions or experience, to drive up lifetime value? What you just touched on, Steve, is on the involuntary attrition side, one of those key elements is payment management and making sure that cards that are either soft declined or hard declined are going through, because every point of retention has a huge impact on overall lifetime value of a subscription. You didn't ask about this, but another example of an involuntary attrition experience might be on, you know, out of stocks or discontinues and other types of order management parts of the platform that Order Groove also has invested heavily in as well.
I'm sure those listening today can see the value in having a subscription offering, certainly for lifetime value and just kind of a consistent revenue coming in for the brand. It's nice to be able to wake up at the first of the month and already know that based on the number. I mean, I have a coffee replacement company that has 100,000 subscribers in their program. And so they know every single month, on the first of the month, that there's going to be 100,000 transactions are going to happen. Yeah, they're only $40 a month, but that's 100,000 times $40 that it's in the bag. And then they still have an acquisition manager that's nonstop trying to acquire new customers, trying to avoid churn. And there's all different strategies around all of that. So let's maybe talk about how you believe people can optimize their subscription program, because I have my own ideas of the brands that I manage that are in subscription offerings. I mean, Kitty Litter Company is set to alcohol and sports nutrition. I'm into a lot of those, but I just like to see from your vantage point, like, what do you see as a way to optimize a plan?
Yeah, I think it starts with what's the right offer. We oftentimes see, one of the things that Order Groove, one of the areas and components of our platform we invest heavily in, is our promotional framework. We call it flexible incentives, where, you know, it doesn't have to just be percent off, dollar off, free shipping. It depends on the category, right? So beauty might be more into samples or, you know, gift with purchases or what have you. Others might want to incentivize retention more with, you know, retention rewards types of frameworks, where you incentivize nth orders free or discounted. I think it really starts with, what's the right offer? Is it a single product? Is it a bundle? Is it a product? Is it a service? And I think the way to get there is really focus on looking at your data. If you're a new to subscription brand, we see two different types of brands. We see brand new to subscription, and we see, you know, existing programs that were migrating from all other solutions. On either one of them, looking at the data of your customers, where is their repetition? Where is their cadence? It doesn't have to be on the product level. It could be on the customer level. And then building a you know, recurring commerce experience around that is very, very powerful. And to the point you just mentioned, yeah, I'm showing up with 100,000 subscriptions recurring on the first of the month with really minimal cost of acquisition, Steve, that's a very powerful model. So I think back to the heart of your question, though, looking at the data, there's repetition. What's an offering that puts the customer first? That's a very, you know, generic common, but it's really important because oftentimes we've seen, and this was the early failure. I think we're seeing 2.0s be much more successful, but some of the early stumblings of the meal kit industry was they had inherent product challenges that they try to force the business model that made sense for their P&L that would make their investors happy down their consumers, you know, for lack of better word, throats. And I think, you know, when that happens, you're just fighting gravity. Like if the consumer is not happy, then it's going to result in attrition and then you're going to have challenged economics. So I think really figuring out what's the right experience for your consumers based on the data, you know, is it a single product? Is it a bundle, as I mentioned? And then what's the right offer and promotion? Is it on the enrollment? Is it on the retention? Is it both? And then figuring out, like, what do you want the experience to be? Do you want it to be on a product details page? Do you want it to be a custom experience that asks you a series of questions? Some of my favorites, Steve, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen these, but some of my favorite ones are these, you know, upfront questions that really guide you towards what is the right plan for Greg and for Steve. And while you and I both know that there's probably only 5 to 10 SKUs in the background, it still feels very unique and personalized and will help me, one, convert to a subscription and then likely retain because it's personalized for myself or whomever I'm purchasing it for.
Yeah, I've seen that in skincare a lot. I've also mentioned I have a kitty litter company, and that's one of the questions they ask. They only have one SKU, and then they have some other things that are kind of one-offs, but how many cats do you have? 1, 2, or 3? Okay, because that will justify how much is coming. I have one. Click. What's your cat's name? I mean, once again, trying to, you know, build that community. And then from there, it just goes to the next step. Checkout flow. Boom, it's done. And then and then they know the cadence already. And you can up and, you know, raise and lower it and pause it and do all that. I think that is a really great way of interacting. It's simple. It's graphical. It's so easy. Click, click, click. Done.
Love it. I mean, simplicity is key, as you all know, with Shopify. Does a terrific job at accelerating the checkout and converting, but it's no different, obviously, for subscriptions and membership experiences. And that lends a element of personalization that is key to a successful offering.
So let's talk about the retention efforts, because I think I have a significant amount of conversations with subscription brands, and there's team members that are just trying to understand lifetime value. They're trying to anticipate churn. There's different apps and things that can try to churn buster and trying to get these certain, like trying to understand the life cycle of the customer, of the at-risk, well, the active customers, the at-risk or churned customers, and how you deal marketing-wise. And so if someone's already in a subscription offering, the goal is like, well, how do we continue to offer value to these subscribers? And I just would love to hear it from your perspective, but like, what does good or what does great look like from a retention offering from a brand that has a subscription offering?
And Steve, the question's around on a percentage basis on a month, or is that more on the experience basis?
Yeah, I'd say more on a percentage basis. Like I have some brands that after 3 months, there's a 40% churn rate. And they're like, well, is it a product problem? Is it a customer experience problem? Like, what is it?
It depends on the category. I mean, very, very strong retention rates are in the mid 90s. That's a strong. We have customers though that are in the mid 90s and the mid 80s and in the upper 90s. I think it depends, of course, on the CAC that they're paying to acquire that customer. We have customers that have highly profitable, fast growth businesses where their subscribers last for 3 months or 4 months compared to ones that last for 5 years. It really depends on the CAC, of course, from an economic standpoint. It also depends on the average order values. In the meal kit space, some of the brands that are highly profitable and doing very well, they might only have a 4 or 5 month LTV. But that customer is spending so much over that 4 or 5 months compared to what they would have spent or compared to what the consumers that did not enroll in subscriptions are spending, that it is far more profitable from an LTV to CAC standpoint than it would have otherwise been. But I think generally you want to see a 9 in front of your month over month retention rate. Doesn't mean that doesn't work with 8s. I think we see plenty of success stories in those cases too. It all becomes a math equation, of course, around how much can you afford. And that depends on the levers we talked about, also your gross margin.
What about the customers themselves? So someone subscribed into an offering, because I've had this exact question recently, and we're trying to understand buyer personas. We're trying to understand, well, who are your current subscribers? Because they're trying to reduce their churn rate. They're thinking, well, do I improve my product or do I not understand? Do I offer further discounts? I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people are lost a bit. Well, you're right. They maybe only have 2 or 3 months in a program, but then maybe they don't really completely understand their buyers very well, and they're not tailoring content and further experiences around community around that product. And, you know, and even other non-competitive products in a vertical, like, it just makes me think. I'll just give you an example, and then maybe you can throw in your point here. But I have a brand that sells a water bottle, and it's a digital water bottle. So there's a downloadable app, and just actually it's lighting up my desk as we speak right now, and just reminds me that, hey, I want to drink 2 of these today. And so it gives me 10 notifications per day to remind me it's probably time to have a sip of water because I want to drink 2 of these today. But what's interesting is that they wanted to add a subscription offering. People aren't going to buy multiple water bottles. These are expensive $40 water bottles. But what's interesting is that they decided that, hey, we wouldn't mind selling some kind of additive. Some, because people don't always just drink water. There's vitamin waters and different types of, like, you know, packages of things you can pour in, shake it up, and off you go. And so they're trying to figure that all out. And so for them, they started asking some questions about, well, like, you know, and then they're trying to expand their product mix to have, you know, higher AOV instead of just selling the water bottle once every 2 or 3 years. Let's get into a subscription offering so there's more of a recurring revenue and it's predictable. And so I just wanted to have your feelings about, like, in this particular case or other cases, like, what have you seen about how people can understand their subscribers better? What kind of questions can they ask, or any tools to just understand the persona side of the customer so that you're giving the right products and you're just executing better to keep them in a program?
Great question. Of course, talking to them is going to be helpful insight in terms of what are they looking for? What pains are they feeling? Where can you create a best-in-class experience, whether that's subscription or what have you? You know, one of the places that we see speak to the overall experience is when a subscriber churns. We ask them, it's not a requirement, but we ask them to fill out the reason why. It's also a chance to retain them, right? Oh, I'm tired of the flavor. Did you know you can swap? Oh, I'm going on vacation. Did you know you can skip? But let's put that aside for a second. When they do churn, and when they do typically fill out the reason why, either through a form or through, you know, free form, or there's a checkbox of what's already pre-selected or pre-populated, that gives you a lot of data as to where are the inherent issues. And it depends on the category. We covered a number of cases, flavor fatigue, or, you know, overstock's a big one. By the way, overstock, though, and many other use cases around churn is solvable with machine learning. There are certain actions that you can predict when a consumer is inputs that you can predict when a consumer is likely to churn. That this is an example of where just one place where Ordergroup's machine learning has invested. I think that's a great spot to look in terms of if you look in the customer portal and you go to cancel and you select a reason why, that typically will speak to what are some of the underlying product market fit challenges between the subscription and the consumer. You know, overstocked is one of the most common. It's the flavor fatigues. It's the, I need to upgrade sizes or what have you. I think the example of the it sounds like a smart water bottle. Is that right? Connected water bottle?
Yes.
First of all, I love that as a consumer. But then two, the razor blade model, Steve, works phenomenally well. You know, we do a bunch of these. We do this with Illy Cafe, the coffee company. You get your coffee maker and you are incentivized to subscribe to a, you know, coffee subscription at the same time. There's just a lot of complementary products. Those have very strong LTV attached to them, and customers love them. Customers love them, and it's a very large piece of these businesses overall. So I think that those are all creative experiences. I think to the previous part of the question you were asking was around, like, what can you do besides the product? You know, I think Dollar Shave Club exemplified this quite well. The razors, I don't know if you've used them, they weren't the best in class razors. And I apologize if part of the audience is from the company, but the brand was amazing. Of course, that video was just one of a kind, like once in a generation type of viral video. But it was the content that surrounded those shipments that really created a community and experience. It wasn't a transaction. It was truly a relationship. And they had some fun material that really amplified their brand, amplified why you're a subscriber. And, you know, I think ultimately led to the success of that brand. So I think the content that surrounds it in the journey, like another Shopify brand, Bulletproof Coffee, does a very nice job on this as well. I think that community you can build with content coupled with the experience. And of course, reading the reason why his customers are churning, reading the reasons why they're disappointed, talking to them firsthand, like we try to call as many consumers as possible to try to better our product and offering for our merchants. That's, of course, where you're going to get the best information and know where to iterate your offering.
So let's talk about the people that are listening today. I mean, there's a very diverse range. I'm sure you can appreciate. I mean, the show gets, you know, just over 10,000 downloads a month. So there's going to be people that are entrepreneurs that are in their early stages of trying to figure out what they want to do. Lots of people in the mid-market. And there's going to be, like, you know, in a growing selection, because I'm on the Plus Merchant Success team. So there's a growing amount of Plus brands that listen to the show each week. And so from your vantage point, and this is more of a general question, it could be around subscriptions because that's kind of your wheelhouse. But just overall, what sort of advice would you give brands and store owners today if they're eager to grow and then from grow on to scale?
You know, having gone through this myself as an entrepreneur, it takes belief in yourself. But I think the most important thing is just get going. You don't know what you don't know. What I had to do to start Order Group was literally quit the only job I really had, which was a startup at the time. And the reason why I did that was not because I had another idea in the e-commerce space, but I knew without a salary, I would quickly figure it out. I think just starting and trying, and it's okay to fail. It's a lesson on the way to the success. And I think that's like the most basic principle that applies, that I find is helpful. I found to be helpful, that applies to any entrepreneur. And, you know, I think along the way, if you persist, you're likely to find, one, what your passion is, and then two, where the success lies, like where the successful story and business opportunity lies. So that's just one piece of advice that I took to heart when I started my business. Somebody gave me that when I started Order Groove, a mentor of mine, and I always feel is relevant for other entrepreneurs. You can over-optimize to death and try to find, you know, the perfect scenario. And you want to be smart about the market you're going after, obviously, in the category and how you're going to get there and your go-to-market. But if you're a new store owner, Shopify makes it so easy, of course, to do this. Like, my wife started a business that she ultimately ended up shutting down. She's under 5 feet. She started a petite clothing line. You know, Shopify de-risked that so much by just allowing her to go after her passion and dream, even though she didn't know anything about fashion. She probably doesn't want to ever know anything about fashion again, by the way. And it ultimately didn't work out, but it was just she jumped off the cliff. The parachute opened on the way down, and Shopify and just getting going allowed her to even try that. And while she ultimately realized entrepreneurship wasn't right for her, the ability to do that is so much a big lift and scary, but it's easier now than it's ever been, although it's certainly not easy.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, like the mindset part of it, I believe is super important. Even on my wall, I have a thing that says, you know, progress over perfection. It's like, you got to move the needle. You got to move forward. I'd also would be concerned a bit about, you know, the analysis paralysis, where a lot of people look at a lot of different things and they just get nothing done. I don't know if there's like a saying that goes around, but, you know, 1% per day of change, you know, can be, you know, you'd be in a different spot in your life. If you just do one thing well today, or just become 1% better today, where will that be 365 days from now? So definitely the mindset part of it. And what about, like, from the platform perspective? Because I want to dig into a couple things before we end off for today, but let's talk about some of the benefits again, just for clarity, about recurring revenue and the benefits for a brand if they're, you know, they sell, they got product market fit, but they're just not sure how to position it into a subscription offering. Are you able to offer any advice?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say somewhat similar feeling, which is oftentimes using the word that you used, analysis paralysis. We see that with our merchants. And I think just getting something live, like where we find analysis paralysis oftentimes is on the promotional side. Like, what's the right incentive to offer to the customer? And you know what? Just get it live without an incentive. Just to see organically what happens. And then once you have it live, you get some organic traffic. Is it going to be as good as when you have an incentive? Probably not. Does that incentive have to be a steep discount? Not necessarily. It might be something not monetary speaking. You know, and oftentimes it is monetary, but I think just getting it live and seeing the organic traction is important. Then you can start testing and optimizing. I think one of the common pitfalls we see is folks try to perfect that, what's the right offer and promo up front. And you don't know until you start talking to customers, to the previous part of our conversation. So, you know, having those organic signups allows you to have a base of customers that you can now start calling on and talking to, and then zone in on what is the right offer, experience, promotion that's going to make this as successful at scale as you're hoping it will be.
So let's talk about the product a bit, and you're knee deep into a lot of this now. With Shopify, end of last year, kind of releasing to 4 partners, the subscription API and the post-purchase kind of upsell opportunities that are available, trying to bring things back into the Shopify sphere. And so you being one of 4 partners that got early access to the subscription API, can you just explain where we're at today with this recording, because we are going to be releasing this like very soon. So it'd be nice to understand, because I think this is an ongoing dialogue, but it'd be interesting to talk about what it looks like currently with maybe other partners and kind of how they're executing their subscription offering and how it's different compared to what Order Groove is doing. And then I guess a part two of that question, if you can fill me in on the details of like, well, how has the subscription API that Shopify is offering, how has that enhanced the Order Groove offering?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, Order Groove has always been, except for the very beginning when we tested a, what's called, you know, folks call separate cart, I think Shopify calls it a hijacked cart. Order has always been an integrated offering. I started the business actually as a separate cart. We realized it deteriorated enrollment rates considerably, and it was a disjointed customer experience. So that was like the first couple of hundred days, you know, a number of years ago. Since then, Order Groove has always been integrated directly into the e-commerce shopping cart. What that means is that when you are a merchant, you know, take Kind Snacks, for example, and if you want to sign up for a subscription service, you are checking out on kindsnacks.com. It's not a subdomain. It's actually the same shopping cart as it would have otherwise been. You know, Pete's Coffee and Shopify and Order Groove work together. You're checking out on petescoffee.com via Shopify shopping cart. You know, first and foremost, we've always seen it in the data that it is for the consumer, as I mentioned, deteriorates enrollment rates. It also, for the merchant, it really, having a hijacked cart will mess with analytics and tracking. It just has provided a not optimal experience for the merchant. Shopify, as everybody's aware, in November released a set of subscription APIs that are focused on platformizing the subscription experience for partners. So they didn't build it into the product. They actually released and exposed APIs that make it easier for partners like Order Groove to enable brands to offer subscriptions directly integrated into Shopify's cart, which supports the integrated experience that Order Groove has been doing since the beginning. It's been a tremendous experience partnering with the Shopify team. We've been working very hard together, you know, both of our teams, a concerted amount of resources on both ends and diligence, have been working for over a year on making sure this is a best-in-class experience for the merchant and ultimately for the customer. For us, because we were integrated from the beginning, accessing the new subscription APIs, there was some newness, certainly, but it was relatively straightforward. And, you know, as far as I know, Order Groove has by far the most robust feature set with the new subscription APIs, and without them, I think previously as well. Of course, I'm biased, but with the new subscription APIs, because we've always been integrated, we didn't have to really change too much except write to, you know, these new APIs and make sure it was integrated that followed the documentation that Shopify provided. Some of the pitfalls I think you asked about, Steve, there are some capabilities that are not yet supported by the Shopify subscription APIs, but we know where those are and what those are. And we're working very closely on anything that impacts revenue, GMV, with Shopify. But for the most part, we've been able to get very close to parity with what is, you know, has always been the case for Order Groove's subscription offering that's always been integrated into the existing e-commerce shopping cart.
And then so there's the Shopify has their own payment gateway, so Shopify Payments. And then there's also a lot of companies that are currently on third-party gateways, being Authorize.net or CyberSource and Braintree and PayPal and others. So does Order Groove work seamlessly with both sides of that native Shopify checkout flow with your solution using Shopify Payments or third party? I just want to see kind of where we're at today with either side.
Yeah, and you asked me, apologies, I just realized you asked me about some of the benefits. I think for us, it's always been very similar from an experience standpoint. For folks that are on it, merchants that are on a hijacked cart, it is absolutely going to be a better experience both for the consumer and for the merchant. But one of the benefits of Shopify Payments, which is the preferred processor of choice for many merchants, that especially if they use it for their transactional business, having that all in one account and unified, it's just so much better from a reporting standpoint. And also the rates tend to be more favorable. Order Groove does support other payment processors. Authorize.net's an example. I know that Shopify is also working hard on introducing some other payment processors into the mix with the new subscription APIs, Authorize.net being one of them. I also know that there are certain processors that are not going to be no longer accepted, like Braintree, for example. I don't know if that's 100%, but I know that has not been prioritized. And I don't believe that that's the one that's going to be prioritized anytime in the future, as far as we've been, you know, shared in the roadmap looks like. So we do support other processors. Our preference is Shopify Payments. However, we also know for those merchants listening that not everybody can be approved by Shopify Payments. Whether you sell certain ingredients or certain categories, CBD supplements, et cetera, you need alternatives. Shopify knows this as well. And this is why they prioritized Authorize.net and others in terms of payment processors. And Order Groove is already supporting those. And then with the new APIs, we're working on supporting those within the new subscription flow as well.
So let's talk about your roadmap. You should just mention that. So it'd be interesting to hear where Order Groove is headed, I guess, for the rest of 21 and beyond. I'm just interested about, you know, partner alignment, like playing nice with other pieces of tech in a brand's arsenal. Just end of the day, how are you going to continue to offer value and assistance as it relates to, you know, subscription offerings?
Yeah. So for us, you know, we're investing heavily. We're hiring a bunch in product and engineering. And for us, it's really how do you make continue to remove friction for the consumer, whether that's subscription management, you know, whether that's customer portal or SMS or other channels. These are have always been parts of our platform. They're going to continue to be places that we continue to invest. Whether it's, you know, again, very unique to Order Groove is our machine learning. We call it Anticipate AI, which is personalizing the experience for Steve as a subscriber and making sure his cadence is right to predict churn and mitigate that. That's a critical element that we feel is overlooked oftentimes by merchants, but is highly valuable to the consumer. We see it in the GMV lifts. And within Shopify, one of the most remarkable things, Steve, that you guys have built is a partner ecosystem that you have. It's very unique in the sense that it's 1+1=3. And we have invested side by side with a bunch of key partners and continue to make that a very meaningful part of our roadmap because we know how important this partner ecosystem is to our merchants. And, you know, playing nicely with different technologies and creating a differentiated experience is critical for the consumer and obviously for our merchants. There's a host of other investments we're making this year as we continue to expand our R&D teams significantly. But those are some of the highlights that hopefully give you a sense of where we're zoning in on.
Love it. And I'm hoping SMS is going to be part of that.
It is. SMS is for us is, has always been, we've been doing it for a number of years. You know, you have 100 million Amazon app downloads. You have, I know that's not necessarily the best word at Shopify, but you have 3 billion people walking around with the most native app to our lives, which is cell phone, which is SMS within our cell phones. And, you know, whether it's SMS management or if it's actually conducting commerce through SMS, this is the future of relationship commerce. Subscriptions is as well. The interplay between those two is very interesting, we think. And there's a ton of, as you can see, there's a ton of momentum in the SMS marketing space. We think SMS commerce is the next revolution that's taking place.
Yeah, I've interviewed a lot of the, I guess, some of the major players, the Twilios and the Attentives and the Postscripts and the SMS Bump and these kind of guys. These are all major players, major investment, a lot of VC backed doing their thing. And the incremental lift, that's not getting off topic a bit, but there's a significant incremental lift by having SMS activated even for browse or cart recovery. And then it's great to see that you're making investments in and or are, you know, continue to invest in SMS as part of a subscription offering. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think, you know, all of those are folks that we're friendly with, our partners with. And SMS today, I think it's really about, Steve, what we call every channel. You can mature from omni-channel to every channel. And what that means is omni-channel typically means brick and mortar and e-commerce and maybe catalog back in the day. Every channel is now the channels that are most ubiquitous to our lives that have not historically been where commerce is conducted, but are the fastest growing channels of commerce. So think about social, think about SMS, think about voice. These are the futures. And of course, e-commerce and retail are the largest share of that, but it's really whatever channel the consumer wants to conduct business and do a relate and have a relationship with you as a brand is where you should be as a merchant. And we are very intent on fulfilling that promise of every channel, you know, subscriptions and relationship commerce overall.
So Greg, we are nearing the end of the show for today. Any closing comments or any takeaways for those that got to the end of the episode today that you'd like to leave with them?
No, Steve, I think this has been terrific. The Shopify story and rocket ship is just amazing to be a part of, you know, which we're honored to be a part of. I think for those merchants that are looking for, you know, a very consumer focused and merchant-focused platform that's very easy to get up and running and has best-in-class capabilities that works with both some of the smallest, most and fastest-growing emerging brands in the world, as well as some of the largest brands in the world. You know, Order Groove is very unique as we've always had an integrated card offering. We know the pains of a separate card offering, and, you know, we're excited to be delivering in partnership with Shopify some of the best-in-class subscription experiences.
Beautiful. So how can people learn more about Order Groove?
Of course, ordergroove.com. A bunch of merchant success managers should be up to speed with Order Groove. And of course, anytime, feel free to send us an email, partners@ordergroove.com. and we'd be happy to help. And my email is greg@ordergroup.com if anybody has any direct questions that I could be helpful with.
Perfect. I understand that you would like to offer, I guess, a listener-only promotion or a little offer today to help people along with their subscription potential roadmap.
So we're offering a free subscription audit for any brand or any merchant that wants to have us evaluate their site, their brand, whether they have a program or they don't have a program, and offer best practices, recommendations around how to improve an existing experience or how to get a new experience off the ground. We'd love to help those that want to participate, and just let us know.
Perfect. I have a link. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/ordergroove. It'll be in the show notes. That'll redirect to a landing page where you can fill in your details. And someone on Greg's team will be able to field that and then be able to, just give you some best practices and just saying, hey, here's what we know what success looks like. Like you're in a very unique position. And so understanding the vertical and then offering some tips and some advice and some links. You guys produce some great content. I know I syndicate quite a bit of your content on Ecommerce Fastlane. To cast a wider net for discovery. And so, I just implore people. So ecommercefastlane.com/ordergroove, fill that form out. Thanks, Greg. I really appreciate you coming on the show today. And, what's really important that I want people to think about is that, Shopify really has a mission, and this mission is to democratize, getting access to commerce and being able to sell online and just make it easier for everybody. And for me, based on today's conversation, I really feel that Ordergroove really is in tight alignment with wanting to help brands improve efficiencies for sure, growing revenue through that, and then definitely lifetime loyalty because of a subscription offering. I think it's fantastic. I just wanted to thank you for sharing both your knowledge and your vision and just once again, giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Steve, thanks so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Yotpo SMS Bump, the leading SMS marketing solution for e-commerce brands looking to build a top revenue channel. Built for compliance, SMS Bump helps you recover carts, launch targeted campaigns, and engage in truly conversational commerce. Join over 90,000 businesses that use SMS Bump to build meaningful relationships with their customers and sell online. So check them out today. Click the link in the show notes, visit the Shopify App Store or ecommercefastlane.com/SMS bump and see why over 90,000 other brands choose SMS Bump. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of Ecommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms. All with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.